Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 524. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Jeff's new name is Miller Lite Tall Can.
Okay. No, that's not.
Earl is here.
Hi.
That was very, very resigned. And Jeff is here, too.
Yo, yo, yo.
Jeff, the luckiest man in technology. we'll get into that shortly, Jeff, because I don't think you're gonna like what I have to say.
So Jeff, I'm curious
about
over a month reaction. How did you post the reaction? How did you get rid of those absentee ballots? Like,
I just made a bunch of fake ballots for Biden in my lab.
Your lab?
You didn't hack the machines to get Trump's votes deleted or switched?
We were all over it.
He was the one throwing them in the river.
I knew it.
It's where they all ended up.
Okay.
Did you guys see the crazy lady that was at the hearing?
The drunk lady?
Yeah, the drunk lady.
Wait.
She was the star witness was it Michigan?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think I saw this.
My favorite quote, and it wasn't actually from there, was when she said, "I wrote a written affidavit." I mean, how else would you get a written statement other than to write it?
But it was written, Earl.
Yes, a written affidavit was written. You either say you wrote an affidavit or you have a written affidavit. Saying you wrote a written affidavit just defeats the purpose. Saying one of those statements.
I know what I saw. Okay.
I know what I saw, and I saw alcohol going into me.
I signed an affidavit that if I'm lying, I'm going to jail. Did you?
Yeah. That was maybe the best one. And, like, even Giuliani was like, oh, shit. Like, no, please. Like, he's trying to, like, tell her to stop.
Wait, is this, like, the blonde lady with the glasses?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw some of that, yeah.
Oh, she was
just
sad.
That's Trump's people right there. That's who's fighting for him right now.
It's something. But, So Jeff won't tell us his evil master plan, but we can tell you about video games, I guess.
We're talking video games.
And there were some. Well, we played some new stuff. Let's start. So, Earl, you've been playing more Age of Calamity.
Well, I've been playing Age of Calamity. I wasn't around, I don't think, for the first.
Oh, you haven't talked about Age of Calamity. Okay.
Yeah, because I was here to ask you for Thanksgiving.
That's true. So, you played Age of Calamity.
I played Age of Calamity. I'm enjoying Age of Calamity. I think Age of Calamity is a ton of fun. So, Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity is the prequel for... I'm just going to get it out of the way. I don't pay attention to the Zelda stories enough to be like... There are some people like, oh man, this is... there's a time travel element that retcons elements of Breath of the Wild. I'm like, whatever. It's a goofy fantasy story. You're carrying around the robot guardian dude who travels back into the past... The change elements. You get to kill a bunch of stuff in really, really great fashion.
Yeah.
Yes, and that is what I'm here for. I think it does. I like the original Hyrule Warriors. We've had this discussion before. Mm-hmm. One of the things I did like about the game was that it was able to kind of take whatever it wanted from the Legends and Zelda's lore and kind of its characters from Wind Waker, Majora's Mask, Ocarina of Time. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, we'll take designs, we'll create some. This is all Breath of the Wild design or Breath of the Wild base. So it's actually very interesting in the sense that almost everything in this game maps out to locations from Breath of the Wild because it's the same map, but seeing it 100% when it's actually like actual structures and not like, you know, half demolished houses and abandoned areas of the world. So it's fascinating from that point. But it is also really nifty to just kind of see, like, to take a game and to retrofit that world and have it in something akin to it. And very similar to that game, you also get certain enemies that are specific to the area because the region because they are in the games. Like you'll get in the I fail always to get the name of the forest, but like the forest, there's the area where like you have like you get Hestia. If you play Breath of the Wild, he's the guy with the maracas who you give the Korok seeds to upgrade inventory space and other things. So you get him as a guide in the forest. And like you know, instead of like having to figure out the path for yourself as you would in the game, he just kind of, and you get the path. But it's nifty that they were able to find a way to work those hidden paths in. And then you get Hestia, which is actually a really interesting character. I will get to the character, but yeah. And then my favorite part of the game is like if you played Breath of the Wild, and again, I assume everybody who owns the Switch has played Breath of the Wild. You had the divine beasts in that game basically served as hidden dungeons. Then you'd put them in position for like the final attack. In this game, you actually get to power up the divine beasts in certain stages, and they are just giant like war machines. You go through just like wrecking thousands of enemies. Each one, they're all pretty similar. They're just giant tanks essentially. They usually have like a normal attack. They have like a charged attack, which takes a bit more time, but it does big area of effect damage. And then they have like their super move, which tends to be, I think they all have the same exact super move, which is just like a giant laser that will shoot and destroy anything that you within its path in like 10 seconds. And so far, those have been some of my favorite parts, just because, again, you get to pull out these giant beasts of creatures. And it's nice to... I said this on Twitter. I can't see them going forward with the Legend of Zelda franchise without making the Divine Beast a core part of the experience now. Whether it's like a deserted Divine Beast, or like you have to go to an ancient Divine Beast to secure some weapon or something. Like they're going to become like the Master Sword being in the forest was something that I think was first in Link to the Past and has pretty much been in the franchise since then. And I think that's what the Divine Beasts are going to be now. In terms of characters, again, like Hyrule Warriors and a lot of Musou games, when like, each character feels and plays so different that I think they could be their own action game if they wanted to. So, like, Ink is the, you know, Ink, I enjoy Ink, but Ink is kind of the generic white bread character of the franchise, much like Mario and any, as he has all, like, his sword attacks you are used to. He slashes, he can do a spin attack, he can leap into the air, he can tap his sword into the ground. It's all nifty, but, you know, you've been there. You've played with Link all the time. I don't necessarily go for Zelda in this game. I think I mentioned this when we talked about the demo. I still don't know how to control her because she uses the Sheikah shade. I mean, she just sends out a bunch of the ruins. It goes in order, so she sends out the... what does she send out first? I think she sends out... Oh, she uses the Magnesis to send the block. Then she does the Stasis to form little patterns. Cryus, and then she does the Stasis. And at some point, if you mix it up, you can do a bomb, which you can roll and explode. And it's just such a, it's just like throws out a bunch of random stuff that I don't necessarily, it's just, I don't get it. So I can't use it too much. Impa is fantastic. I don't watch anime too much that she controls like a Naruto character. Essentially, you draw symbols on your enemies. You can then press the R, and you could just then attack them and absorb the symbol. And when you absorb the symbol, you're able to create clones of her. You're able to have five clones of her, four clones of her, so five characters at once. And if you have a full squad of five, you just run through enemies and do a crap ton of damage. Umbosa is she tends to have, she focuses more on electric attack. Okay, I'm not gonna sit here and go through all the characters. just to say that I've having a ton of fun from each character. And I think one of the highlights for me in this game, and I enjoyed it in Breath of the Wild, but Breath of the Wild uses a lot of ambient music, so it's a lot more subtle. So they take a lot of those, they actually do turn them into full song for the entire stage. And I'm really enjoying actually hearing like Breath of the Wild music being used more often.
Oh, neat. How's the performance? I know you've said in the past you're not like a technical guy that it really bothers you, but do you notice anything?
I will say this. for the most part, it's fine. There are times when it's definitely noticeable when it starts to, like, there are certain characters as well who it's just, like, they do so much is happening on screen. When you get a bunch of enemies and, like, you're using a lightning attack, and then, like, you, like, because you can have a stagger gauge and that pops up, and, yeah, it's like, okay, then it starts, like, becoming a sideshow. But I would say 90% of the time it's running smoothly.
Okay. Jeff, you play a little bit of this too, right?
I have, yeah, probably 3-4 hours at least. I don't know.
And you don't like it quite as much, I think.
Nowhere near as much as Earl does. I don't think it's good. It's like if you were going to try to like make this, like, you know, make a Hyrule Warriors, and then like think about how you can make it as Breath of the Wild as possible, like interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I don't prefer it. Like, I prefer the original Hyrule Warriors. For part of the reason is because like what Earl said, where it's like that one was just a celebration of the series and it could pull from everywhere. So like,
and this one's, I don't know, just Breath of the Wild focused.
Like,
yeah.
But then it's like, I feel like the gameplay has been like, I don't know, dumbed down or streamlined or something from that first game, where it's like I never feel like I'm juggling between different things happening on the battlefield. Like it really just feels like, okay, go here now and do this. Okay, go here now and kill this thing. And then, like, that's all the levels are.
And I will grant you that. I think the core levels are very much like that. I think the challenge modes are more of what the original was, in the sense that, like, oh, you have to capture these 3 points, but you have like 2 minutes to do it. So yeah, you don't prioritize necessarily killing all the enemies. You prioritize, okay, I have to juggle a bunch of them, get my meter up, run to this location, get it. And then I think the challenges do a better job, especially when it comes to bosses, where like you'll have, like, they will put in like the Hinox or the Dinos, and like you'll see them in the story mode, but like actually, like, there was one point I had to fight two of them. And if you play Breath of the Wild, the Dinos are really badass enemies. Like, they will kick your ass if you are not well prepared. And yeah, they kind of bring that over into the game. And so, like, anytime you encounter them, it's a big, like, oh crap moment. And when you encounter two, and then it's like, oh, you also have like 10 minutes, so make the best of it. It's like, okay, now you have to actually think about it and actually start shredding. But I do agree with you in the sense that I feel like a lot of the levels are more, not necessarily, they're essentially quarters. It's essentially like, yeah, here's a spot, go to this spot, here it is, go to that spot, here that. And not necessarily like, okay, now you have to go back to the beginning because somebody's trying to take over the base that you already cleared out.
Yeah, it's like, I never have to worry about that. That's another thing, too. It's like, there's outposts in this one, but it just feels like, I don't know, like, some of it's just the feel. When you take over an outpost in the original one, you get like a treasure chest, and it gives you that full Zelda fanfare of opening a treasure chest. And here it's like Breath of the Wild, where it's like, here's 3 treasure chests, and then you just like hit Y and they all like click open, and you see a bunch of fucking junk that got added to your inventory. Like, I don't know. It's just, it's a little thing, but that's like another thing where I'm just like, this is not as special. Like, it's not.
So what I'm hearing is Breath of the Wild is not as good as you remember.
Well, it's just, I'm not going to agree with that, but like, it doesn't work. I just think a celebration of the whole series, and then like the more complex gameplay is better. But
got it.
I see people, like, there's people that really love this one, and it's fine. But oh, and another thing, like that earlier saying, like, your favorite part is doing the Divine Beast. I hate those levels. They're so boring.
Do you?
Yeah, like, they're just slow moving, and your attacks are slow, and it's you're just walking in a straight line.
I think when you use them for a first mission, I agree. Again, I feel like a lot of where the interest of the game comes from is more in the challenge modes. Because, like, there's, like, a challenge mode, for instance, where it's, like, you have to go through the entire stage without getting hit once. And, like, that puts more test of your actual dexterity and skill and understanding enemy patterns and using the Sheikah property. And I think the same thing with the Divine Beast. Like, the first time you use them, you're pretty... Because it's pretty much you just walking through people. And then, like, you have challenge missions where it's like, okay, you have to kill X number of people. But then you'll have, like, 15 people thrown, like... Because, like, when you first use them, you don't really have enemies that can attack you. Later on, you'll have enemies that will do massive damage to you if you're not, like... if you run too far ahead, if you don't take care of them, if you're not, like, shooting on the projectiles, if you're not actually using, like, the shield or reflectors properly.
It's just... I don't know. I just dislike... I don't know, like... Oh, that's it's like, every time they pop up, I'm like, it's like... I'm trying to think of like an like analogy, like another game that does something like that. Like a lot of games, like there's one level where it just is kind of different and it keeps happening over and over. And if you don't like that, it sucks. I don't know. I feel bad saying that, like I don't like it as much, but I don't.
Yeah, I mean, it happens. I've seen people, I think that was always going to be an issue with them focusing on a single game versus the entire scope. Because it's the same thing with the characters. I like the champions. But there are also side Zelda characters that I'd rather... Like, okay, I enjoy the fact that it has the Great Fairies, which is a very interesting choice. But it's like, yeah, you know, the one you had, you had Link, you had Zelda, you had Impa, they're here. Then you also got, like, you know, you got the Astute, you got Inku, which is... I enjoy Inku. Are you not an Inku person?
I don't care, actually.
Wow.
I mean, I think just like the ability for the roster to be so much more grand in the original Hyrule Warriors, right? Because you're expanding on different games, so like you can bring in different characters from different games. Whereas this is like, hey, you know those guys from Breath of the Wild? Well, they're here now, and that's cool, right? But it doesn't have. I think I get what you're saying, Earl, where it's like the roster could just be a little more diverse.
Fuck Linkle, give me Tinkle.
That, okay. I mean, that might be something you pay extra for with the Ages of the Night,
yeah,
but...
It normally is.
But the flip side of that is it makes a more coherent story. But again, I also kind of like the fact that Hyrule Warriors' original story is like, yeah, we're just going to have any character show up. Here's, I will say, I do like the enemies in this one, especially what they do with the Yiga Clan is kind of one of the big enemies, and I like what they do with that, and given like the leader personality. But again, it's one of the difference between like, oh, you have to take this very seriously because this is a specific story you're telling, versus like, yeah, we're just making this shit up as we go.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're enjoying it. Jeff, sorry you're not enjoying it. I did try the original Hyrule Warriors with the definitive edition on Switch. I've tried that out now.
You made the right choice, in my opinion.
I mean, I may get to Age of Calamity at some point, but I was able to get a physical copy for $60, and that seemed like a good deal. So, which seems crazy because that game's what, 2 years, 3 years old now. It never really it goes on sale every once in a while on the Switch eShop, but. Physical copies are hard to get at a decent price, so.
Yeah.
And it's fun. It seems fun. Like what I play. I only played the first two missions, so I don't have a definitive, you know, say on the game yet. But I liked what I played of it.
Yeah, I think I was surprised by how much I liked that first one, and now I'm like kind of sad that I don't like this new one as much. I thought this one would be at least as good. But just not with all the different Zelda shit. But I think the first one is actually better. Like, not just
not hitting you the same way.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's stay with the Switch because Earl and I have both played a game that is up for the Video Game Awards Game of the Year.
WWE Battlegrounds.
Yes. We have both played that, but no. we both played Hades. It was on sale this past week, I think, $20, which isn't...
On sale for the launch price, but whatever, sure.
It was the launch price, right? It came out at 20, and then it went up to 25, and now it came back to 20. But we played it. I'm going to... I'm not going to shit on the game. But...
Oh, wow.
Come on, do it. That's what we're here for, Chris.
Well, when you start that way, there's no way to go but up.
But I Earl, how do you feel about Hades?
I have to say I'm enjoying it. I think I paid more, but like within the first 5 minutes, I understood why people enjoyed it. It has a very simple loop to it, and I could see it being very fun. I think what really carries it, I mean, the gameplay is solid, but I think what really carries it is the sense of humor that it has, that I think a lot of people have embraced the writing of it. It's very kind of meta, tongue-in-cheek at times.
The writing is very solid. I think all the characters have great personalities. They all have something unique to say just about every time you talk to them. So, yeah, totally agreed on that.
I think Chris is like, that's it. That's all I'm agreeing with.
I like the art style. I think
I agree that it's
good.
A video game that exists.
It is a video game that you play.
But
no, go ahead.
Oh, no. I think it has a really nice style to it. It has, you know, I'm not as horny as everybody else who seems to be playing this game and wanted to bang every god they run into. But I do like the interpretations of a lot of the gods and goddesses, and I like the style of the game itself. I think I forget the studio's name, but they have an eye for a very distinct art style. And yes. You know, I like that a lot of the enemies are very easy to figure out their patterns early on. I want to keep talking, but I really am desperate to hear Chris's butt.
All right, so everyone's like, "Oh, you need to play this game. You need to play this game. It's so great. It's so great." It's different from. So we should lay this out. It is a roguelike game, right? Like, it is a run-based game where you're trying to get a perfect run to get through the dungeon. What makes it different and unique in this way is that, like, every time you die, you get a little more of the story. You're able to engage with different characters and get new conversation pieces, and that stuff builds up over time. So it's a game built around knowing that you're going to die a lot, but that's also kind of its core loop, is that you're going to go out there and you're going to try and make a run. Yeah. And it's the randomization that I'm not necessarily a fan of.
Have you not played any roguelikes?
I don't particularly like roguelikes. That's the thing. And like, everyone's like, "Oh, this is the one." And it's not. Like, it's not the one that's going to change my mind.
Dead Cells was the one.
Dead Cells was not the one either.
I mean, for me, Dead Cells was one of the ones that really changed my mind. But for me, I think Shade of Spire was the one that really changed it for me. Just because, I mean, I think being card-based and not necessarily action-oriented, I think that was your pill for... Because, you know, it's a turn-based, card-based RPG. That's a much easier pill for people to follow the loop in, as far as like, "Oh, no, I did well, but this enemy attacked me and hit me half a frame too, and I can't refill my health, then I'm dead, and it sucks."
Exactly. So there is no... Like, it's not there's no way to regain your health, but you don't have, like, there is no Estus flask or, you know, health potion to replenish your health. Like, you can upgrade, like, certain things that do carry over for Zagreus, like, where you can, every room that you clear, you can get, like, a boost to your health, like, a little bit of health back. And then occasionally there are fountains that you can like go to and gain some health back, or Karen shows up and like you can buy shit from him that maybe gives health, but it's not all the time and it's completely random. So like you could be like, I'm doing great, oh shit, like I just ran into a tough fight and nothing, and then you go up against the area boss and you're fucked. And it's like, damn it, like I was having a good run. Now it's all that time was wasted, and then any of the boons you got, so that's the big hook here, is that every time you start a level, one of your family members, one of the gods on Olympus, comes down and is like, "Hey, like, here, I'll give you some help." And that is something you can attach like multiple ones to your character, and they give you boosts. So like you know, if you get Ares, like, you might be able to get a boost that makes your attack 200% stronger. But you're not get your, it is always going to be random as to who that start off is. So sometimes you're going to end up with, like, Aphrodite or Poseidon or, like, whoever. And their boons aren't going to be kind of, they're not going to fit your playstyle. So from the start, you're basically like, well, I'm fucked. And I don't like that. Like, that's fine. I understand that, like, everybody, like, other people do, and that's great. I'm glad you enjoy it. Like, that portion of it just frustrates me because I don't feel I'm getting any better. And it's like, if I had X, Y, and Z, if I was able to carry that over, like, I feel that I could improve from there. And then, like, as you're going through, you can pick up these, I think they're centaur hearts, and they boost your health. So you can gain health, but again, totally random. So, like, you might reach the first area boss with 125 health, or you may reach there with 50. Like, it's never going to be consistent, and you don't keep it. Like, once you die, you go back, and everything starts over again.
But not everything.
No, you're right. There are things that you can upgrade in your mirror and keep. And then as you give gifts, so you get, there's about 7 billion systems going on in this game. There's so many different currencies. There's gold that you collect on each level, and then that can be that can purchase things from Karen throughout the levels. You gain this nectar of the gods that you can then gift to certain characters, and they will give you things back. And I guess, like, as you go on, you need to gift them more and more for them to give you what you need. But they'll give you these keepsakes that you can then, basically, it's like a charm that you can attach to yourself, and then you can upgrade them. So that keeps persistence. There are things, like, you can, I think right now I'm, like, if I die, I don't immediately die. It'll, like, bring me back from the dead and refill my health to 50. So it basically gives me, like, a second chance. And I think I can upgrade that again. It's really expensive. There's keys that unlock different weapons, and then those weapons are unlocked permanently. And then there, you can also use those keys to unlock more upgrades that you can keep. But none of it seems like the upgrades that I need or want. Like, I just want more health, and I just want like the boons that I've kind of come, like, I've come up now. I'm able to get through the first area pretty consistently. I haven't been able to get past the second boss yet, which is in the second area, but I've been able to get through, like, I can get by Meg pretty much every time now, with any of the weapons. But I have, like, a certain play style that I want to play, too. Like, I like the bow. I like how the bow works. I don't want to use the stupid boxing gloves. Like, but it's, like, it encourages you to do it because that'll give you extra, you know, extra currencies. And I'm not really sure what we do with them yet. But so I understand why people like it. It's just, it doesn't change the core loop of a roguelike.
No, it's very much okay. And I was going to say the other thing, and you haven't gotten, and I haven't gotten here with Hades, but it is possible. I've had friends talk about the good and bad with roguelikes. Is like what Chris says, and all that is true. There's also times when you get a build that's just so broken that it's not fun. Because I've not had this, but there, like, I remember in Dead Souls, I had a build where I literally just went through like the first five or six stages. Not engaging any enemies because I'd have an attack that would just sit in front of me, not gonna anything that came, bosses anything that came in front of me, and I just hang back. I'm like, you know what, you deal with this. I'm gonna get a cup of coffee. And the same thing happened. Same thing happened with Slay the Spire, where I got a you will. I mean, the thing is because it's so random, you have to duck out. But it happened to Slay the Spire where I got to the final boss, and I just had a deck where basically I had 0 point cards that at the end of every turn would just return to my hand so that I could keep using them so the boss never went. And yes, it's a grind, but it's like I'm just killing this thing without ever actually having to do any work or any strategy.
Yeah. I haven't come across the broken build yet, but but yeah, that won't be fun either. Like, well, now I can beat it because I've discovered the broken build. But like, there are things I like about it. Like, so you get to the first boss, Meg. She's very much like an old school, video game boss, right? Like, she has different attacks. She has tells that, like, all right, she's gonna rush you, and if you're too close, she's also going to use her whip on you. So you want to kind of...
Oh, baby.
Yeah. Well, Meg and Zagreus have a... there is definitely some sexual tension going on between them. So there is some whip jokes that come out. Because you always have a conversation with Meg every time you get up to her as a boss. And they have some playful banter back and forth. I like that. Like, I think the character work is really well done. And then the boss fight is actually good. It's even with the different weapons, like, I don't necessarily like the sword because I like to play these types of games from range. So for me, like, the spear and the bow are like how I want to play. But even with like the sword, like, I've been able to figure out, like, all right, I can do this, or the shield, which has a cool dash attack to them. I think all the weapons are very well thought out. It's just, I want to play it like a normal game where, all right, I've made progress, and now, like, I keep that progress. I'm this strong now, and now I know that, like, I can go with that same build through the next part, and I can just keep building my strength to beat the second part. Instead, it's like, nope, every time it's the loop of starting over, and that's a me issue. I totally get that, but it's not necessarily killing it for me on that front. I may hit God. There's a God mode that you can enable, which says, like, if you just want to enjoy the story, like, dying isn't necessarily there's not as much of a penalty to dying there. So I do want to see the story. I think it's really interesting. You're trying to get Zagreus out of the underworld. And it seems, I don't know how far you've gotten, Earl, but there are like cutscenes, like, I guess after every section you beat, where they're interactive, but like, you'll get like a big reveal of why is Zagreus doing this?
I have not gotten that far.
have you beaten Meg yet, or?
No, okay. I mean, and I've gotten decent, but yeah, the problem with Thanksgiving and Black Friday is you buy way too many games at once. Yep. And I wanted to get through Age of Calamity, which I've not done, and we'll talk about other games in a bit.
But, Tony, I'm not sure if this sounds like a you game or not, but...
No, it's not. I'm not playing it.
It might be a Jeff game.
I like roguelikes, but I just tend to not like that studio. So I don't know.
That's a shame. I like their stuff. It's just that, like, I wish that this was just a normal kind of Diablo type game, which would probably make it way more boring. But
also, when I say I like roguelikes, I like play them and I'm like, oh, this is neat, but I never like stick to it, like, play it a billion times like most people do, and yeah, beat them and stuff. No, I just, you know, some of them will draw me back a little bit, and you know, again, there's a lot that I've played that I've really liked, but you know,
this one does, as Earl said, like, has the good hook of, like, every time you die, you're getting more of that character interaction, and I think the writing is good, but if you haven't previously liked the writing from the studio, it's by the same people, so.
Yeah, it's something about their games. I've talked about this before, so I don't know.
Did you not like Bastion?
No, I've tried to get into it. I've bought it on multiple systems. I bought it on the Switch. I played it for like an hour. I'm like, I don't like this. And it's, you know, I normally like that type of game. It's just like the way their games feel, the art style, and the constant fucking talking. Not a fan of it.
Got it. No. I like all that around this game, but I don't actually like the core concept of the game. And it's not the studio's fault. Like, that's the game they made. It just
wait,
just doesn't
it's not
work
the
for
studio's
me.
Fault that the game they made? I don't understand.
Well, it's not the studio's
explain
fault
that statement to
it,
me.
It's not the studio's fault that I don't like this type of game.
Oh, I see.
Like, I don't like they decided to make a roguelike game. I don't tend to like them. So like the stuff I like about their games is all present. So that might actually not work for Jeff, except the game part that he likes. He might. I need Jeff to play the game, and then I can experience all the stuff around it. All right, Earl, we're gonna come back to you have three other games on this list. We're gonna circle back to you on them because I don't think we'd probably spend as long on the other three anyway. All right, Jeff, Tony, you guys have been playing Assassin's Creed. Jeff, you've played an inordinate amount of time that I would have thought you would have quit this game about 40 hours earlier. So
that's right. I am shocked and surprised. And a little odd.
How are you guys doing with it,
Tony?
So I'm not nearly as far as Jeff is. I talked a lot about it last week. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about the upgrade system. Mm-hmm. So you know, Assassin's Creed has gone RPG. So you get XP for doing stuff, completing quests, killing people. There's this really weird star-based system where you choose your, like, every time you level up, you get to choose two new abilities. And I don't know about you, Jeff, but this whole like
the tree?
Tree. Is it a tree?
I mean, it's like a fucking
it makes
explosion.
No sense. God only knows what I am upgrading to or towards. I have no idea. The paths make no sense. What abilities do I want? I don't know. I can't look ahead of the tree, so I don't know where I'm going.
You can eventually see like outlines of stuff that's way far out, but you have to like kind of figure out the path towards to get to them. But like if you could go look out at something like go way up the red branch and see something out there, and you could highlight it, and you could see, oh, okay, if I could get to this branch, this is the big ability I could get there. But it's weird.
It should be clear the direction that you're going. You should know what you're working towards. It's the one part of the game I don't like, and it's the part of the game that's necessary for like moving on to new areas.
I think
actually surviving
early,
those fights.
I think maybe early on it's. I remember thinking that too at first, but now I kind of have a feel of where I'm going with that tree. So I don't know.
Okay, that's what I was trying to ask. What is the point of hiding everything if you could just respec? It makes no sense. Let me see the whole thing so that I can understand where I'm going and what I'm doing.
And,
right?
Yeah, I can see that, but I don't know. It's not really an issue for me. Like I said, you can see like the big things that you're going towards. And all the stuff in between is always going to be like plus something to resistance, plus something to...
Right. Plus four melee. To melee attack, yeah. plus five to health and all that. You know, I understand what those things mean. I get it. I just... There should be like... Instead of like this tree where everything seems kind of random and spread out, like... There should be like a logical progression, and it makes no sense to me why they did it this way. But that is the only part of the game I don't like. I like all the rest of it. I like the stories. I like Eivor. I don't. Are you playing male or female? Female.
Female.
I'm female too. The one thing I have noticed, it doesn't seem as horny as Odyssey was.
She was so horny.
Yes.
I definitely screwed
my way across Greece. I really did.
She would fuck anything in that game, man. Like...
In this game, not quite so much. She will kill anything that moves. I don't know. Maybe there was too much of that in the last game and they got complaints. I don't know. But I like all of it. I love the combat. Combat is great. I don't do a whole lot of sneaking around because I like killing people so much.
In the combat, like, it starts off great and it keeps building on itself. Because, like all of a sudden you'll have a move where, okay, when this guy's down on the ground, I could go up and stomp him to death.
Yep. I love the stomp. Or you'll unlock like something you could use one of your adrenaline slots.
Yeah,
like,
that's the other thing. Yeah.
I can throw a guy against a wall now and instantly knock him out. All right, awesome.
And then those, you'll find upgrades for those specific powers to make them more powerful. Like, it's, you start to become, like, I have this one, all right, so there's one where it's like a get over here move, like where you shoot out like a spear, like Scorpion, right? And you pull a person up to you, and it kind of stuns them, and then you can just beat them up after that. Once you upgrade it, sometimes when you pull the person towards you, you'll fucking rip their fucking head off with the chain. Awesome. So it's like, it's just, like, the combat keeps getting cooler as you go along. Like, it's fucking nuts, dude. Like, there's just so many different things you could do like when you get late into the game, you know?
Weapons. The weapons are really cool. It's so much better than Odyssey, where you had to, like, level your weapons up to the level that you were at, which was fucking annoying. And this situation, the weapons don't have levels. Like, you can make them stronger, but they just have base stats that you can improve, as opposed to like, okay, your level 20 axe is no longer good against level 50 people.
I'm still upgrading my starting axe. That's what I use.
Exactly. I'm still using it. It's a great axe. I don't see any reason to stop using it. Whereas if you're playing the last game, you'd have probably dumped it a long time ago.
I'm worried that, like, super late in the game, I'm going to get, like, a fucking axe that's just, like, way stronger to begin with. And I'm going to be like, God damn it, I poured all this fucking shit into this one weapon, and here's, like, its base level is fucking way stronger than mine. Yeah.
What weapons? I mean, I'm just going axe shield. There's a part of me, if I find another axe, I might go, or find like a really good axe, I might go axe. That'd be pretty cool.
I tried walking around with like this whip chain thing in my left hand, like I was fucking in Castlevania and shit, and it just, I didn't like it. I don't even remember to use the shield, honestly, as much as I should. I use the shield all the time
in the combat. It's so great. You like stun people with it and then stomp them.
I just always, I'm dodging. You know, like sidestepping and coming at
them. I can't even remember what the dodge button is, which bugs the crap out of me. Because you get those red attacks, and like, oh, I want to dodge. I can't remember. They hit me again.
So I'm about 55 hours into the game. And I'd say about for like the first 25 hours, I was playing the game wrong. So the first 25 hours, I was doing raids and doing missions. And that got me along for a while. And then I finally hit a boss that was level 250, and I was like level 80. And so I was like, uh-oh, what the fuck? And there's like no other missions for me to do. So, but like, if you look at the map, it's like littered with fucking shit all over it. These little blue and yellow points. And so basically there's something to do every 200 feet, and you need to be doing it all to be leveling yourself up. And the cool thing is like, it's not like, it all feels like well designed. It doesn't feel like generic like shit. Like, it's, there's cool puzzles to get like every little thing that's like all over the map. It's almost like kind of like, you know, Zelda's mini dungeons, but here it's just like, you'll come to a spot where you're like, there's a piece of armor, but it's like 50 feet below the ground. How do I get below the ground? And it's like, you have to find a well. They shoot the cap off the well, then go down into the well and find your way through that, like, just to get this one piece of, like, steel ingot or something. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's just like a small piece of resource, but you need those resources to build up your weapons. It's just so interesting how they did that. But it's like, it's just, even to get, like, what seems like crap, but it's important, it's, like, interesting, like, there's puzzles to get there. Like, you know, you'll often have to, you'll like have to get into a tower or something, and the door's locked on it. It's like barred from the other side. You have to like somehow maneuver around the building and find a window that you could peer through to shoot the lock off the inside of the fucking place. Like, some of it does like repeat a lot, but I think it's all really clever design. Like, And so now, like, for the last 35 hours or whatever the fuck, I've just been running around doing that shit. And, you know, level getting ready to go back to that boss I was at. but, like, I could now very comfortably, like, I think I'm, like, level, like I said, like, 130 or so. I could comfortably enter a level 250 area on the map and fuck shit up. Like, so I'm getting close. Like, but, yeah, this game is fucking great. Like, and it's just mind-blowing to me how much stuff there is to do, like, every 2 feet in that game, and how interesting it all is. Like, it's fucking crazy, dude. So I like it.
Cool. Well, sticking with Ubisoft, they just released another open-world game that plays very similar to Assassin's Creed.
Three open-world games in the span of 6 weeks.
Yeah, I feel, Earl, that might be all they released.
Like, they did do Just Dance, so I mean...
True.
Okay, wait for the upcoming... open world Just Dance.
Just Dance.
You know what? I'm actually here for an open world dancing game. We should look into that.
Be interesting. Like where you just go and have dance battles.
Yeah.
Be cool.
I mean, it worked for Ring Fit. You have exercise RPGs. Why not a dance RPG? I'm going to start working on this.
I like this idea, Earl. Let me know when you have a demo ready. Yes, they've released Immortals Phoenix Rising, which is maybe a terrible name. But Jeff and I have both played a little bit of it. I think our experiences are probably very, very different.
I don't know. I've played about 3 hours of it now.
Okay, so you've been able to work. It's playing. So I have not played anywhere near that much. But I did not have the issues that you had getting the game to start, or I did not have the load time issues either. I did not have you had maybe the best glitch I think I've seen, where the splash screen was just, it would not remove. You had the game running in the background. Like,
yeah.
That one was pretty great.
My character, so when you get to the character creation menu, yep. It just loaded blank. I couldn't see anything. I'm just like, okay. Like, just, like, and you know, it's a game that takes a while to load, so you're just like, okay, I'm waiting, and then it fucking, like, I can't even start playing the game, and it breaks. Like, I think I got to play it, like, for 15 minutes, maybe, last night, after trying to play it for, like, 2 hours. Like,
that's probably where I'm at. Like, I played that 15 minutes. Like, I got to the top of the statue of, I think it's Hermes. And, like, that's where I, like, then we started the show. I just wanted to kind of see. But, yeah, I had no issue with it booting up. I had no issue with load times. Granted, I am playing on Series X. You are playing on a 1X. But there shouldn't be that much of a discrepancy.
It's not a taxing game, I don't think. It doesn't look like it. Like,
no, I mean,
it's pretty small file size. Yeah. Like, it's on the fucking Switch. So, I mean, I don't know, dude. Like, it should run just fine. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to harp on it too much, though, because, like, since I started playing today, it was fine after that. So.
And maybe it was just our friend Sean also said that, you know, there was a day one patch that released. Maybe we just didn't. Maybe you didn't get it because you started playing it last night right when it launched.
You played before the patch was live.
And I started playing it now. So maybe that patch finally pushed through and it's not causing issues. Just I just found it funny because you just have the worst luck in tech. Like you were playing Star Wars last week and it wasn't working for you.
Yeah.
At the same time, I was playing Star Wars on the same mission and having no issues. And Yeah, so Immortals Phoenix Rising, open world Ubisoft game in ancient Greece, but it's far more colorful and cartoony than like Assassin's Creed Odyssey. But Jeff, you've obviously played way more of it now than I have. What do you think?
I'm liking it. I'm warming up to it. Like, I think at first I was kind of like, all right, this is like a very mediocre Breath of the Wild ripoff. It's growing on me, though. It's like, even, you know, discount Breath of the Wild is still kind of a neat thing, right? Like,
sure.
It's funny because, like, it is that, right? Like, it's exactly what Jeff said. It's discount Breath of the Wild, but it's also like they're just wholesale ripping the Assassin's Creed, like, inventory screens and, like, all that shit is just, all right, we're gonna take this system we've already created for Assassin's Creed and we're gonna dump it on top of this Breath of the Wild clone that we made.
And the thing, like, you know, I knew it was supposed to be kind of like Breath of the Wild. Like, it was very obviously inspired by Breath of the Wild, but, like, I'm honestly kind of surprised, like, how shamelessly it rips off Breath of the Wild. Like, I thought it would at least come up with its own puzzles. And it's like, no, we're doing exactly the same puzzles from fucking Breath of the Wild. Like, one of the early ones I did was, like, there's a constellation on the wall, so you have to carry these orbs with your magnet power and drop them in the slots on the floor that match the constellation on the wall. That is exactly a puzzle from Breath of the Wild. Like, it all feel like your powers feel exactly like Breath of the Wild. Like, it's fucking crazy how, like, it seems to have very little of its own to say at all. It's just like, we're going to do Breath of the Wild and kind of mix Assassin's Creed. But, you know, still pretty fun now that I'm getting into it.
Good. So yeah, that pretty much lines up with how when I played the demo, which is not the intro to the game. The demo was completely different. So I think it picks up later in the game.
Its other problem, though, is that, like, the fact that I'm playing Assassin's Creed at the same time as this is it really pales in comparison to what Assassin's Creed is too. It's like, Assassin's Creed is kind of blowing things out of the water on every front, and it's just like, this feels like this stale, or just feels like this copycat, you know, like, it's just nowhere near what Assassin's Creed is, right?
Right. This is
it's fun.
This is Assassin's Creed for kids. Like,
yeah, it's fun. The like sense of humor I'm enjoying. I'm enjoying, like, how not serious it is and how it's always like doing double entendres. And,
yeah,
I don't know.
I like it.
You like it?
I'm enjoying that. I think that the humor's funny.
Yeah.
I have seen a lot of complaints, like, people just aren't liking it. Like,
I like it.
I don't know what they were, like, looking for with this. Like, it looks like a cartoon, and it's look, it's super juvenile humor. But this game is obviously designed for, like, 12 to 15 year olds. Like, that seems to be what the humor, and I'm finding it's fine. Like, it's fun.
So, like, about, you know how, like, in Assassin's Creed it takes like 5 hours before you reach the, like, title card of the game?
Yeah.
So there's a part in this, it's about 2 hours in, you reach the title card of the game, and it's like the narrator's, like, talking over it as it happens. He's like, oh my god, you're just gonna show the title card now, like, this far into the game? Who the hell does that? Like, you know, it's just like, just poking fun at, like, everything. Like, I don't know, I'm enjoying that.
Yeah. I'm glad, like, I am not doing what you're doing, where you're playing both Assassin's Creed and this at the same time. I knew this was the shorter of the two games, so I was like, I'm just gonna wait. I tried out Assassin's Creed, I was like, this is good. But I knew, like, it is Assassin's Creed, but this is something different and shorter. Like, I think it's like a 20-25 hour game, so
yeah.
I'm gonna play through this one before kind of turning back around.
And it's pulling me more towards it a little bit right now, just because I've already sank so much time in Assassin's Creed, and this is, like, you know, it's something a little different. And,
mm-hmm.
And then I'm thinking, that's in the back of my head too, is like, oh yeah, this game's, like, not as long either. Like, you could probably breeze through this a little bit.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be, like I said, I'm, like, really warming up to it as I'm getting into it. It's just, like, at first, I was, like, I don't know what I was expecting out of the game, but I thought it would be something a little more not like it's so derivative. Like it's like crazy, but still very enjoyable. Like I don't know. Hey, at least you don't have breakable weapons now, right?
Yeah, that is a giant plus for me. So
I guess there are some downsides.
All right. Before we jump over to WWE 2K Battlegrounds, I've been playing A Link to the Past on the Switch. Just randomly.
A Link to the Past or Awakening?
A Link to the Past. Like this, the Super Nintendo, through the Super Nintendo service. I don't know how I beat that as a kid. It's fucking hard.
You had a lot more time when you were a kid.
Yeah, and like was able to kind of like I'm not doing that. Like I'm not like mapping out the dungeons. But like as a kid, you drew those maps. Like you played it like you would Dungeons and Dragons. Like you figured it out that way. Now it's like I don't have the patience for that, so I was like have like a fucking dungeon guide open on the side. Like, but the bosses are tough. They're rough. Like the guide I'm following has like showing me where all the hearts are. So I'm going in fully stocked, and like some of these bosses are rough. There's the one that has the mask on his face. You have to break the mask before you're able to attack his the gem. That one's there are some rough bosses in this.
Is that like do you lay bombs for that one? Is that what I'm thinking of? Like,
you can use the bombs and throw them at him to crack the mask, or you can use the hammer, the magic hammer.
Okay,
but you have to break the mask before.
I can picture he's like an armadillo looking thing, kind of.
Yep. Yeah. He shoots a fire out at you. It's like I am happy that the Switch. If it didn't, I'd probably just jump over to the Super Nintendo Classic version. But I'm glad that like this has save states too, because if you save and quit, like when you come back to the game, you don't have all your hearts or whatever. So you have to like go and find some again, where it's like this, I can just pick up. All right. I left the last dungeon I was at and I can just pick up from there and
always leave myself with full hearts.
Yep. Or also like save right before you go into the boss fight. So that,
yeah, like, absolutely.
But that game's still great.
Like, oh yeah. It's been a few years for me.
It's still one of my favorites.
Yeah. It's funny though, because like I'm fine. Like, what was it? It was probably a few years back now when A Link Between Worlds came out, and that one is considerably not as difficult as this. So,
no.
But it's very much designed like it.
Yeah, I think Nintendo got wise as to how to guide you, and I think the other thing with A Link Between Worlds was they were very clear on like. Oh yeah, you can do it in any order. It's not like you have to like Into the Awakening. I mean, Into the Past kind of as you do that, but like half world is cut off until you get to the dark world and stuff like that. But yeah, I remember there's one dungeon in particular. You might have mentioned this, where it's like you have to go outside to find a different entrance than go in.
Oh yeah, yeah, the one that's in the woods, the Skull Woods.
Yeah,
where it's like that one's crazy. Like you're in and out of that one's nuts.
And it's like how. I mean, I played it for the first time a few years ago, and I just used the guide most. Like, at some point, you get old enough to, it's like, I'm going to use a guide if I actually want to beat this game and see it through the end. Because it's not as fun to wander anymore. I have a ton of other games I can play during that wandering time.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I'm thinking, like, playing it with the guide is probably going to take me, 13 to 15 hours. But I swear, like, when I played that as a kid, like, it was probably a 35-40 hour game because you just wander around trying to figure out what to do next in a lot of cases, because you need certain items that they're not readily visible for you. Like it's not like games today where you know where you have to go. It's very much an exploration game, which is fine. It's just I don't have the time to spend 40 hours wandering around in the overworld anymore. But it's a good version on the Switch. So if you have the Switch Online, I think it's still $20 a year, right?
Yep. So, I don't use that part of it enough. I really don't go into the Super Nintendo and Nintendo library enough.
So it's funny. My sister-in-law she bought her girlfriend a Switch for Christmas, and was like, I need recommendation on games. She's like, she likes the old school Nintendo, Super Nintendo type games. What should I get her?
Problem solved.
And I was like,
nothing. Get her nothing.
Yeah, it was like, buy the membership for $20. She has all the Nintendo, Super Nintendo games she wants. It's like,
all of them. Right. She's gonna have like, some audience specific taste. Like I want the original Earthworm Jim.
That'll be a problem. Like where she's like, well, it doesn't have this. And like, who the like really? Like you're going that obscure? Like,
and I mean, it's not news, and that is huge news. But like, there was an update for the Switch this week, and they do have a now pronounced like a Nintendo Switch icon on the homepage. Yeah. Even though it doesn't do it. I mean, you can get to the Super Nintendo, Nintendo stuff from there, but it's kind of more of like here's what Nintendo, Switch Online does, and then like yeah, the Nintendo. And the other good thing about the Super Nintendo and Nintendo stuff, and I think I mentioned this one, is that they do add multiplayer for online multiplayer for all the games that have an aspect of two players, whatever it is. So yeah. That's actually neat as well.
They've done the work on it. It's a great service for $20. Like, I know there's a lot of shit you can throw at Nintendo, but
I just say it's a good service for $20. But you're technically paying for the online. So, eh.
Yeah, I guess you do need it for that. But so yeah, I think my sister-in-law will be quite happy with that and probably Animal Crossing. She's probably gonna get that too. So I think she's set. Let's see. The one other thing I wanted to touch on was I'm still playing Gears Tactics, and I just came across a mission. I'm nearing the end of it, but there's a character from Gears 4 that shows up, and that's pretty cool because you're playing as Kate's dad for like he's the leader of the group that you're playing in for most of the game, and another character from Gears 4 shows up in that, which is pretty neat. I was not expecting. It was like, oh, this is neat. Cause like now it's not just, all right, we're playing as Kate's dad. Like it's directly tying into, you know, how Kate ends up an outsider, which I thought was pretty cool. But what we really want to hear about is WWE 2K Battlegrounds, Earl.
We really.
No, I mean, no. I mean, you can tell us about it.
I can tell you about it. I can tell you that I got it for $15 during Black Friday week,
mm-hmm.
and I might have overpaid.
Oh no!
I paid it for about an hour, and I'm like, I've seen this game. It's very bare bones. Not even like a good arcade game, and that like, everybody the same.
There's four or five different classes. Types. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and then like all of the single player content is pretty much the same thing dressed up in different ways. It's like, yes, granted, it's a wrestling game. There's so many ways you can dress it up, but it's all pretty much like fight these people, and that's it. And I'm just like,
yeah, okay. they throw some stuff in late, like. I mean, yes, it is still just fight these people, but it's like win this battle royale or win this tornado tag match or, you know, whatever. Like they'll add weird mission parameters in parameters.
That would be better. Like, I mean, I guess part of it for me is that one, it's a really bad at actually teaching you some of the mechanics. I just don't know how to use like the environment. Like, I don't know, like you have like stuff where the floor turns on fire and I'm like, I don't know what to do here. But yeah, a lot of that stuff where it's like, this seems nifty, but you're not doing anything with it. How can we fix that? And they don't. So, yeah, it just seemed fine. I will go back to it, I guess, when I have some downtime and don't care about anything. But yeah, right now, I feel like maybe half an hour, I'm like, oh, I see my fill of it.
play it with your nephew when he comes over for, you know,
for his random assortment of games.
Yeah, it's like when he's like, all right, I want to play a game for a half hour, and you'd be like, we can play this one, and then he'll be bored of it, and you have gotten your fill of it as well, and it's like...
Well, there you go.
Halo 5.
I mean, it's Halo 5. I went back to it because some friends wanted to play, and it's one of those games I think I mentioned before that I've actually never bested because I keep on starting it with people who keep on quitting on me. So, no. I mean, yeah.
Did they quit on you again?
No. It's, you know, I mean, you folks know. It's super. They're super busy. They both have kids. One's expecting their second. And so we're going to... Our schedule is going to make once every 2 weeks, so it's just going to take its really show time. So yeah.
Well, if they happen to, and you end up not finishing it and you guys fall off it, let me know. I will definitely play through Halo 5 again. And Destiny 2 with whatever the new setup is called.
Yeah, what is it actually called?
Beyond Light?
Okay, yes. So, that is... Okay, so, yes. It's a whole... It's like a new star for Destiny, which sounds really hokey or whatever. But, yeah, it is. So, like, even as somebody who's played the game before, you have to go through... I guess it's a bridging mission that kind of explains, like, what happened at the end of Destiny 2 to this. But it's like, if you've played games like this, and Avengers does the same thing, there's usually, like, a pre-mission... that you have to play on your own in order to unlock the multiplayer mode. And it was great that this did it, even though I've played the game before. And then, again, I've not played Destiny 2 in a long time. And almost, like, I think I played Destiny 2 originally came out. So that was, what, 2-3 years ago now? And,
at least, yeah.
And they changed a lot of stuff. So I went back in. And, like, one, they have everything up to, like, I think 1,500 is the default. But then, like, trying to figure out, like, what's going on with my stats, and then the new mission structure is slightly different, because, like, there's a hub, and you take missions from one dude, and you, like, it's really, really strange. But, I mean, good thing is, core of Destiny remains solid. The game, the gunplay always is, it's has always been its benefit. And also, and this is more of a me thing, I guess, because I have friends who I love but are also super special at times. Where they're like, this was the reason I wasn't here last week. We were watching, what did we watch? We watched, got really wasted watching it. Then they're like, oh, we should play this new Destiny stuff. They had already played it, I hadn't. I'm drunk and trying to figure out what the hell's going on. They're like, they played it, so they just put me through, and I'm like, I have no idea what's going on. We're killing stuff, I'm getting credit for it, I'll take it. So I'm going to talk a part of it to be wrong, but it seemed like a really decent and fleshed out addition to the Destiny 2 lore. So I'm curious to go back in and spend more time with that.
I'll be interested.
And it's also
to hear
part
what
of
you...
Game Pass, so
that's true. Like the Beyond Light stuff has been added. I'm interested to see how you come out of that. Because I've been interested in going back, but it just sounds so daunting, and like it's like almost like I think I should just like erase my old characters. I don't even know if they're still there, like, and start fresh. But it does sound like they've eliminated like the original Destiny 2 campaign. Like that's not there anymore. And
yeah,
it's weird. It's all very weird.
Yeah, I mean it. I get it, though, because they didn't want to just keep on building a game on top of a game. And it does get to a point where, like, you do kind of, you can get too bloated. And that's happened with games before where, you just build weight. It could get the Halo games, like those, or even Call of Duty, where it's like, oh, now you're getting, like, 100 gigs installed. Like, at some point, you just got to trim the fat. Right. They probably just don't want to keep supporting it and having like, because you know, like there's different planets and different I forget what they're called, defense or whatever they are when they spawn randomly, and
it's like the world events, right? Like that you take place in, yeah, with other people. Yeah. Neat.
Oh, okay. And one more thing while I'm on the subject of things changing, Fortnite finished season 2, episode 4 or something like that. and that was the big Marvel season. And it had a really nice season finale. You kind of teamed up with the Avengers to take out Galactus, and you got to fly the Battle Bus, and what was essentially a rail shooter. I mean, it was very scripted, but it was very cute. There was a trench run, so that was nifty, and that kind of tied into one of the big gets of this season is that the Mandalorian is the one of the premier characters.
Yep.
And just before we went on air, we learned that Kratos is one of the characters who's coming. Well, who I shouldn't say is coming. Is he's there.
Yep.
Yeah. Surprisingly enough, he is a multi-platform character. I thought he would be a PlayStation exclusive.
I thought that too. I went on Switch and he is right there in the shop. Like, you can buy Kratos. It was very weird. But also neat, like, it was in another, in another Discord chat that I was a part of. The one guy who plays it there, he was all very excited because the Mandalorian showed up and he was very excited for the new season. But he was like, for him, he plays it because it's kind of like being able to play with action figures. Like,
yeah.
Like at this point, that's what it is. Like you're playing with all these different characters, and you have Iron Man and the Mandalorian and Stormtroopers and Kylo Ren and Wolverine and
Batman and Aquaman, and you could I think John Wick's in it.
Yeah, well, like a John Wick type character. Yeah.
Kratos, I think John Wick was in it.
Oh, is he actually? Because I know that like season one of the first Battle Pass. Level 100 was like this dude that looked like John Wick, but maybe they actually added John Wick in. That's crazy. Yeah, it's just like this crazy collection of characters, this super weird crossover.
Yeah, it's kind of like what originally they, I mean, not originally, it's what they wanted Echo Dimensions to be.
Yeah.
Where like Batman and Doctor Who are teaming up with Harry Potter and like it is, or something like that. Where it's like, yeah, you get to play with all. Yeah, I've never thought of it that way, but it like we make fun of it. Like there are times like me and my friends will play. There was one time we played and we were all X-Force. So one person was Deadpool, one person was Cable, one person was Psylocke. There was a time where it was, like we were like in the Marvel missions where it's like, okay, I'm gonna go on a Marvel mission as Aquaman. When we did the finale, my friend was Silver Surfer, and I was She-Hulk. And somebody else was just a completely random. So yeah, it's really weird. It's really weird in hindsight when you put it that way that it is kind of nifty that you do get already.
Yeah. And the game is so different like now than what it was when you know it launched.
It's first. Yeah.
Now there's NPCs walking around the world that you can go up and talk to. Like they don't do a lot, but like
They give you missions.
Yeah, I mean, well, they're not like super interactive, but yes, they do give you missions, and that seems to be their new quest system, right? Like,
yeah,
it's interesting. And like they're really building out on it.
And then you can also hire some of them to be like accompany you, and it's really interesting too. Like today we were playing, and you can get bounties on people's head, and it's like go here and kill this person, and. Such a weird concept because then like you'll get a big pop-up effect your friend like, my friend would be the bounty and it's like oh protect so and so before they die and I'm like oh okay. I have never protected them well but I have I have helped kill his enemies which is just as important.
I saw that like one of the Mandalorian quests was do bounties. I just still haven't figured out how to do them yet.
Oh, you just go to speak to some of those NPCs and like one, like, they'll
one
give,
of them
like,
will give it to you.
They have different types of missions. Usually like you could buy a weapon from them, you could upgrade your weapons, and then one of them is usually like a bounty.
Okay.
And it's like, and then you'll get credit for some bounties even if you don't kill the person. Like there were bounties where we got a target and somebody else killed them. It's a bounty stolen, but we still got gold bars. And the gold bars are a new mission as well. Because you use them, they're kind of like an in-game currency that you maintain them games.
Yeah, I saw that. That was like I was like, these didn't go down. Like I came into the game with these currency this time.
Yeah, So that was interesting. And then, like you said, there's new quests. So there's also micro quests. So it's also like, okay, you have half an hour to eliminate X number of people or something like that. And it's really cool to kind of have that living, breathing thing. I will say some of the UI changes I'm not a huge fan of because it's not always easy. But
yeah, I'd miss the punch cards from last season.
Yes, that is a big one because there are times stuff will come up. I'm like, I didn't know I was doing this mission, but sure, like travel a certain distance by foot, travel a certain distance by glider. But I like the punch cards because yeah, like, I mean, I guess the good thing about this one is like you just constantly get missions now, like in game you want to find NPCs and stuff like that. The massive downside, from what I can tell, is like in order to upgrade weapons now, you have to speak to one of the vendors. There's no longer an upgrade station.
Okay.
But like right now, like I'm playing Team Rumble. As far as I can tell, there's no way to actually upgrade your weapon in Team Rumble. You just have to look out and find something that you
hope you get a purple or gold.
Yeah.
Well, neat. Yeah, I bought the Battle Pass. I actually already have enough money to buy the Battle Pass the next two seasons. So.
Yeah, if you get enough money, like, yeah, I bought the Battle Pass because I have enough money, and I have, I mean, even when this is done, even when I bought the Battle Pass, I had enough to buy the next Battle Pass, and then you earn money to buy the next Battle Pass during this mission.
Yeah, so the Battle Pass, what, $9.50 for the season, and they advertised this season as having 1,500 V-Bucks, which I think is pretty standard. So, you know, two seasons where you run through, you could have enough to buy three seasons worth of battle passes. Like, very smart the way they're handling it. And then the way they get you is if you actually want to spend money, like, they put, like, Kratos, he's up for real money. Well,
same thing with, like, Venom and who were the other Marvel ones? It was, like, Venom, Black Widow, who had the movie costume, which was a tie-in that didn't work because it moved.
Yeah, it didn't, but whatever. I mean, I think Captain America was one that was thrown up there.
Batman's one. I think the current Joker one is only in retail, but I imagine when he comes out, he will be one that you'd have to pay for.
I'm mostly okay with just getting the free skins, but...
I mean, it's different. I mean, it varies from season because, like, this one, like, for instance, the Mandalorian is like he's a free skin, but he also takes up like a lot of the, like, unlocking his armor because you get the Mandalorian and the TV show, like, you'll get his right shoulder, his left shoulder, and stuff like that. Where the Marvel one I thought was really great because you had something like six or seven characters you were working toward. You have six or seven characters here, but they're not like, they're like an anime girl, a samurai, a
They're not all like you knew all the characters in the Marvel one. Like,
yeah,
I do like some of the characters that they have here. Like, there's a dude that is just he's a stack of pancakes.
Mancakes. Like, that is his name. That is not me. That's not me objectifying him. His name is Mancakes.
It's a great name, and he like it's a great design. He's just made out. He's a dude made out of pancakes. Like.
Is he married to Mrs. Butterworth?
Oh my god, that would be even that would be amazing, Mancake Butterworth.
That just sounds like a sex thing.
I like the way the anime girl looks too. Like she, I at first I was like I don't know how that's gonna fit in, but I saw her in action in the gameplay trailer and she looks good like in it like. They do a good job of incorporating different art styles and different looks at different types of characters into the game to make them all fit. And I don't know if I'll hit 100. That's how you need to hit 100 to get all of the Mandalorian armor pieces. But it's going to be fun to like run that route.
I mean, it's slightly different because, again, comic books are a huge boom for me. But I didn't think I'd hit 100 that season, and I ended up at 195.
Wow.
Because like with the Marvel one, after you finish the core quest, you got the fall ones, and then you get rainbow ones. So I ended up like the last thing I got was Rainbow Groot.
Oh,
and then like I didn't get like Rainbow Iron Man and She-Hulk and stuff like that. But it was still nifty to be able to get that far. And I tell my friends from the jump here, though, I'm not going to pay as much. Because, again, some of the characters are cool, but the big appeal last season was the Marvel characters for me.
Yeah, so when I guess The Mandalorian leaked, like, people on the other Discord I'm part of, like, the one guy was like, I think it's going to be a Star Wars season. I was like, holy shit, like, that would get me to play that nonstop. But it's not, it's just The Mandalorian and, like, six other random dudes.
Which are cool, but yeah, you don't have the affinity for them that you would if it was a Star Wars season. Even though, like, people like Rey have been part of the set.
Yeah. And the front of the battle pass is, like, Mandalorian-centric. So, like, even if I only play through, like, 10 levels, like, I get the Razor Crest as the drop, as the kind of, like, the umbrella to come down with. And the only thing you don't get, I guess, Mandalorian-wise, is the child, who is level 99.
He's level 1. Yeah, he's the level 100 reward.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ran into him. He's also an NPC.
Who, oh, really neat.
If you land in his ship, he will kill you. He does have a really nice sniper that you get for killing him.
The Mandalorian does.
Yes.
I was like, the child has a sniper rifle? That's insane.
And the child has a name that everybody loves.
Yeah, Grogu.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Grogu. I'm not calling him that. It's Baby Yoda.
I don't think anybody is.
But my wife was like, I'm not. She's like, it's Baby Yoda. Although, I will say, our friend Sean finding out that Baby Yoda is not actually Baby Yoda was magical.
That was hilarious.
Oh, that was a highlight of my week.
Got all mad about it and shit.
Oh, but yeah, it's Fortnite. It's fun. I am, you know, just a couple games a day, but
yeah, it's a great lunchtime game. That's where I mostly play it.
Yeah, like you can make some progress on the quests and then put it down and forget about it.
Yeah, and then go about actually playing an actual game after work.
Yeah, yeah. Like I don't want to like
or during. Wait, no, that's wrong.
You don't play video games during work.
That's right.
Anybody who works listening, I work all the time.
All the time.
Like, I'm working right now. Like, yeah.
He's definitely not recording a podcast and playing Fortnite while working.
Yeah, I am working.
I think that's it for games. I don't know if there was any news.
We talked about the Fortnite news.
Yeah.
Sony said something about the PlayStation 5 sale.
About the sales, how it was the biggest launch ever for them.
We mentioned Kratos already.
Oh, did you see who the performing artist is for the Game Awards?
No.
Oh.
It's Eddie Vedder.
Who?
Pearl Jam?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Huh. Okay.
I was a little surprised. It's like, this does not seem to fit with the demographic, but sure.
No, not at all. I mean, I like Eddie Vedder. I mean, I like Pearl Jam. I don't necessarily know if I like Eddie Vedder by himself. But,
like, I'm a big Pearl Jam fan too. But wow,
yeah,
that's a choice.
It's like, oh, okay. News wise, I guess there was some. I said I didn't know any, but then I forgot that. Casey Hudson announced that he is leaving
BioWare
again.
Shocked. It's gone so well, though. Come on, where are you going?
Yeah. So everyone kind of made a big deal about him returning to BioWare. He left during the production of he left during the production of Mass Effect Andromeda, came back for Anthem. I think he was here for Anthem, oversaw Anthem and kind of the Star Wars Old Republic, and now he's leaving again as Dragon Age 4. Is that what it's called?
I think it's just the new Dragon Age. I don't think they named or numbered it yet.
the new Dragon Age, he's leaving with that, and then the Mass Effect Legendary Edition kind of, I don't really think that needs anybody to oversee it, though. They're just remastering an old game. I don't know. It's interesting, I guess.
I think his leadership in making games has run its course. Like, maybe it worked a couple decades ago, but the way he runs the studios does not work in modern gaming. Like, I think that's pretty clear. There's been a lot of stories about like the methods that he uses and how they're all really backwards and like would work if you had a really small studio making a really small game, but don't work at the scale that BioWare is trying to make games anymore.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. So, bye, Casey.
He gave us some great games. I mean, it's not like I hate him. I think he's bad, but you know, maybe it's time to move on.
Yeah, I saw a lot of I saw the IGN tweet about him leaving, and then like a lot of people are just like, EA's ruining EA's ruining BioWare. I'm like, you guys don't realize that the BioWare that you think you remember
is not around.
Yeah, they haven't existed for 15 years. Like, when the Doctor sold to EA, like that was kind of the end of Mass Effect 3 was kind of the end of that era. And they haven't been the same since. Like, not to say they haven't released good games. Like, I know you guys like Dragon Age Inquisition and.
And Andromeda was good,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I didn't dislike Andromeda either. But yeah, Anthem sucked, but...
Yeah, that game does suck. I'm assuming it continues to suck. I haven't played it.
I guess that Anthem reboot is still coming at some point, but...
Oh, it's not out yet? What?
No, it's still not out.
Oh, my God.
No, and that was announced at the start of the year, wasn't it? I mean, I guess this year was whatever. This isn't news, but it is news. Cyberpunk was not delayed, so it is out next week.
This is true. It is coming out.
It introduced a photo mode, which at this point I just guess. Yes, this is news. Doom Eternal is actually getting released on the Switch next week.
Okay. I wonder how that is going to run.
It's also digital only. I imagine they couldn't fit the game disc or cartridge, I should say. All positive signs.
So, circling back to Halo, not to Halo, circling back to Fortnite, there is an article up on Polygon right now that Master Chief might be coming to Fortnite as well.
Oh, God. Great, I guess. That's a reasonable. This might be the only way you get to play him.
This year? Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I'm kind of curious what it... I mean, I don't know if they would go for it. Very curious if it could end up with, a Samus, because it does seem like they're gathering, the greatest hunters, which is how you get the Mandalorian, you get Kratos. You know, he's killed many, 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 many gods. Master Chief. I mean... He's not necessarily a hunter, but he's a great warrior. And I think Fortnite is just big enough that, if it would be the video game crossover where you get, it would be weird if you got a Sony representation and a Microsoft representation and Nintendo was just like, yeah.
And Samus fits, right?
Yeah, with the whole bounty hunter and... But Mando there and already being space, I think it would be the ideal character for it.
Yeah, I'm down with that. Give me Master Chief and Samus in Fortnite. I'm not gonna spend money on Kratos, but I might for those two.
Yeah, I mean, my rule of thumb is I'm trying not to spend money, but I do think. I mean, I've not bought Batman. If I've not bought Batman,
yeah, I mean, yeah. Who if you haven't bought Batman at all, who are you gonna buy?
Yeah. So, and I've had opportunities.
So that seems That seems like maybe it. There was, and I don't see anything on any of the news sites about this, but I saw some weird tweets earlier in the day about a PS5 Pro. I don't know if you guys caught any of that nonsense that was going on. I guess it stems back to a trying to think of what they the filing for a patent filing.
I didn't hear any of that.
Oh,
by the way,
awesome. I think it stems back from a patent filing. Do you hear me now?
Yeah. But okay. I mean, that's a weird place to start or end. I don't like. We heard, like you said, that an interesting rumor, but I haven't seen any.
So the interesting it was a weird rumor. I don't know how interesting it was, but about the PS5 Pro
already.
And it stems from a patent filing that I guess Sony put out there that very similar to the PS5, but with a second GPU in it as well. Obviously, probably not coming anytime soon. And these companies file tons of patents, so doesn't mean that anything's happening. But that's a weird thing to happen less than a month since.
Well, I mean, like, the joke, not the joke, but you always see, like, you know, people start working on their new consoles even before the old one's out.
Right. Yeah.
So, and I'm curious, like, PlayStation, the Pro and the Sim models from Microsoft and Sony does business. I'm not surprised that that would be in the running already. It would suck if it was something like a second GPS, a GPU, wow. But I mean, this is also one of the reasons why I don't rush out to get new systems, just because not necessarily it just happened, but hey, they'll find a tech, they'll do something better, they'll get it cheaper, something. So
yeah. But yeah, I think that's it for us this week. Next week we will have which one do you want to start off with? Do you want to start off with PS4 or Xbox One?
Came out first.
Which one did Xbox One came out first, right?
There you go.
All right. We will come in with our top 10 Xbox One games of the generation as we begin our year-end countdown.
And this might be something we can discuss off-air, but is it supposed to be Xbox title, or can it be like non-exclusives?
I don't know.
I was thinking that too, but
what?
You'd have to make it exclusives if you're going to have like a finalist that's just whatever, like a free for all.
Right? Well, I mean, like it wouldn't be necessary. Like, it could, because, like, for instance, like, you know, like PlayStation will have a God of War and Spider Man and Uncharted. Yeah, it would have games like Bloodborne and stuff like that. So there are exclusives. Like, I would imagine, you know, like Gears 5 and, okay, Microsoft is much shorter.
I mean, there's stuff there, right? Like Forza Horizon and, all right, yeah. It's, like, in terms of a top 10, like, it would be weird going, like, State of Decay 2 belongs on the top 10 Xbox One games. Like, I think it's a fine game. I don't think it belongs anywhere near a top 10 game of a console.
So then we will include.
Yeah, let's just like bring like what we think is the best games that we played on Xbox for next week.
Okay.
You know, try and keep as many exclusives as you can on there. But like, if you're coming up, if you're struggling,
and you might,
go at it. Just add in third party titles to fill out your list.
All right.
Yeah, I think as Earl said, it'll be easier probably to do the Sony side, just because their exclusive library is a little more prolific. But we might struggle there too. We might need to add some third party stuff as well. All right, so that will be what we're coming in with next week, and otherwise, have a great weekend and watch the Game Awards, because we may be commenting on that next week as well,
in real time.
And we might have Cyberpunk as well. Some of us, I don't know. Tony, you're playing Cyberpunk, right?
Of course.
So we may have some Cyberpunk talk early in next week's episode. All right, Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.